Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Once again, my thanks to Josh Johnson. I honestly wish I had more time with him. I can't stress that enough. He's been on 12 NFL teams or 11 NFL, 13 NFL teams in 12 years. And I said, what's that like? He said, stressful. Yeah, I would imagine. 12 years in the NFL and 13 teams. It's amazing. All right, so we start hour number three. Welcome back. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. Busy, busy day. Good day here on the program. If you're on hold, hang in there. Alvy's Week That Was coming up a little bit later on this hour. The ATP coming up later on this hour. I've got more ground to cover later on this hour. In terms of content, I haven't gotten to yet, but as promised, we are joined by a five-time Pro Bowler, a guard for the LA Chargers, one of only three offensive linemen to be selected to the last five Pro Bowls. He was named to the second most Pro Bowls in Panthers history. He was traded to LA earlier in the offseason. He was the 92nd pick overall in 2014 out of LSU. Trey Turner is my guest. Trey, it's great to have you on. Before we get into the offseason and everything else, how are you and the people around you doing during these challenging times and this pandemic?
Just trying to make the best out of it. Stay out of harm's way when possible. Just listen to the precautions that's being put forth for us. How are you and your family, man?
All right, so let me ask you this. We've got a new normal, but what is a normal day like for you right now, and how do you go about staying in shape?
Really just working out at home. I was able to get my hands on some gym equipment and some weights. And, it's been pretty cool, man. Just able to get my own workouts in and still following my regimen.
Good. Trey Turner joining us. Now, Marshall Yanda, for instance, announced his retirement and then immediately went on a diet and an exercise regimen. This guy looks amazing, and he looks totally different. Yeah. I know you read about his approach. What do you make of what he did and how quickly he was able to reinvent himself and his body?
Man, I think his mindset. I think your body could take more than what your mind allows you to think that it can. And from what I took from it was just his discipline and his mindset, man. How he applied, his theory and did it day in and day out with no excuses.
Now, Trey, I think the fans might think that you're an offensive lineman and you're already huge. It's easy to stay that big. Is it, or do you have to really work in maintaining that kind of size?
Yeah, it's two different kind of bigs. It's big and it's sloppy big, And you want to be big and fit. So it is kind of tough to be big and fit rather than just going, eat hamburgers and french fries and whatnot all day. So it definitely takes some work to keep a fit, big approach.
So in terms of that kind of eating, that's something else the fans think, hey, man, wouldn't that be great to eat whatever you want, whenever you want? It seems to me it's a lot of work to consume that much food. How do you do it? I mean, is it a matter of slamming it into protein shakes? How are you able to eat that much and eat the right foods?
I think it's about portion. Once you see, maybe if you get a chef and if you could see them do it, then you can start doing it for yourself. And this is about knowledge, just knowing what to put into your body, how it affects your body here. When the right time to put, food into and nutrition into your body. So it's just about learning it and knowing what to do.
Trey Turner is joining us. All right, so as I mentioned, you've had a really, really nice career. If we go back a little bit, what was your reaction when you found out you were going to be a member of the LA Chargers?
I was excited, I was surprised by the trade, of course, but I was excited, man. New venture for me, a new city, a new team, a good team. So I'm just happy about it.
Okay. So to elaborate on that, you go to a new city, you go to a new team, you go to a new stadium, they unveiled some amazing new uniforms. Does it feel like a fresh start? And even if you're motivated and focused, do you feel rejuvenated by a fresh start, kind of a reset?
Definitely. That was something I had mentioned, man. It's just an opportunity for me to reestablish myself and reestablish who I am. And, just take it to the next level, and that's what my plan is.
Okay, so when you and I started the interview, we talked about mindset. I listed some of your accomplishments at the top of the interview. You've pretty much accomplished everything there is in this league as an offensive lineman, but when you come to a new team, do you feel like you want to prove yourself all over again? Is there any of that?
Definitely. These guys don't know me that well. I don't know them too well, and definitely got something to go out there and show and prove, man. Show them that they made the right decision by coming to get me in a trade, and you know, just show my brothers that, you know, I'm riding with them.
Okay, so they don't know you yet. Not yet, but you've also been regarded as a leader. So when you come to a new team, how do you approach that leadership role? I mean, do you immediately try to establish yourself with how you talk to everybody, or do you take a lead-by-example approach instead?
It's definitely having respect for everybody. I feel like when you give respect, you give respect. But it's also about action, man. I go out there and I lead by example on the field. I know what I'm supposed to be doing in the meeting rooms. And, you know, just putting forth the effort in. Not so much just with the vocal part, you know. Just actually doing it and people seeing it. I feel like that's my best way of leading, and that's the best way that is reciprocated to me.
Trey Turner is a member of the Chargers now. So you've been to 5 Pro Bowls already, but you're still really young. For example, you were only 20 when you were drafted, and you started 9 games as a rookie. As we all know, this is a grown man's league. What was it like going from college to competing against grown men at such a young age?
I didn't know no better. I just was playing football, so it wasn't too much of a thought. It wasn't, you know, none that I, you know, really put too much forth or effort with. I just like to have fun playing football, man. Different color, different state, you know, different uniforms, but, you know, same game. So it's just a blessing.
Yeah, you go back to that time also. Gerald McCoy, who was with Tampa Bay at that time, says that he saw something in the first time he faced you as a rookie, and he told you after the game that if you keep it up, you're going to be a Pro Bowl lineman one day. What did it feel like to earn that level of respect immediately from a player of that caliber?
I mean, it was dope. I believe that was the first game we had, and, you know, it was Gerald McCoy that I was playing against, so it was different, but man, you know, it was just extreme pleasure, you know, getting the word from him, man. He's a great player, and just trying to keep leveling up, man.
That's right. Like, when you have the kind of career you've had, people are just going to naturally assume that recruiters were all over you from the moment you started playing high school football, but that's not the story, right? The story goes the colleges were not exactly beating down the door to see the team at St. Augustine in New Orleans. What was the program like when you first started playing there?
You know, high school was cool, man. I went to high school with a lot of ballers, to be honest. Tyron Matthew went to my high school. Leonard Fournette went to my high school. I went to a guy by the name of Lorenzo Dawson, and so forth and so on. And, you know, I wouldn't say we were the smallest recruiter. We weren't the biggest, but we had some ballers, man. So whoever came out of that school, man, they got some gems, for sure.
Trey, I'm glad you mentioned Tyron. Tyron Matthew has been one of my favorite guys to talk to the entire time that he's been in the league, even going back to college. You tell a story about how the two of you went to a camp in Tennessee back in 2009. The two of you were there. Jarvis Landry was there. And Tyron did his thing, and he absolutely blew up. What do you remember about that?
I just remember that was one of the first times that we had even been out to even a college. And he lit the camp on fire. He kind of set the pace, you know, set the way for everybody else to come behind. To be honest, he kind of opened the floodgates. He went out there and he did his thing. And then, you know, offers started coming left and right for everybody else. Just kind of, like I said, just opened the gates.
Yeah, like his athleticism, man, he's just electric. But in terms of leadership and his mind for the game, how strong is he? What kind of marks do you give him, like in those intangibles, too?
Definitely, man. Some things you can't coach. And he definitely had those traits for sure.
Before you go, let me ask you, you were in Carolina. You played with and blocked for Cam Newton. I've been really impressed with how he's battled through the pain the last few years. What was Cam like as a teammate?
Cam was a great teammate, man. Just a good dude overall, man. A leader on and off the field. Had passion for the game. Somebody who put in the effort, put in the time. And, you know, showed up on Sundays, man.
Is there any doubt in your mind that he's a starter in the NFL still?
No doubt in mind. I don't know what's going on. You know, I'm not in a position to make decisions. You know, it ain't my call, but he would definitely be on the roster. I mean, I feel like he could be on any roster. So, man, I just know whenever he does get on one, it's going to be a problem.
He's a 5-time Pro Bowler, member of the LA Chargers now, and again, one of only 3 offensive linemen to be selected to the last 5 Pro Bowls. Trey Turner, my guest. Trey, welcome to SoCal. Good to have you here, and great to have you on the show. Thanks so much.
I appreciate it, man.
Appreciate it, too. Good talking to you. That's a great player. That's a really good player. Great pickup. Charger fan, I don't need to tell you this because you know your team. The line needed some help. This guy's going to help out, and he's going to help out quickly. and you bring in Brian Bulaga to play right tackle. I see some upgrades on that line. I like what I see, and I like what I hear. All right, 1-800-636-8686. We ripped one golden ticket. This guy is a watch lister. Maybe it goes from one guy and it ends up with this guy. Let's find out. In Detroit, Johnny on the watch list, trying to get the golden ticket. What's going on, Johnny? How are you?
Hey, Jimmy. I really like the format of the match, but I'd love to see the team of Pat McAfee and John Daly added. Can you imagine these two guys barefoot, burning heaters and hitting tee shots off beer bottles? I want to see J.D. cannonball some Jack Daniels and then stripe one past Phil with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. Rome Kellen Vegas RSVP'd 30 days early to the smack-off, and it's no coincidence. If you ask, 9 out of 10 hookers will tell you he's always early. Vic and NoCal has been...
That's not a good call. No. You don't like that call.
I don't like that call.
I have no idea how this guy even made it onto the watch list, but now he's off it, so that's no longer a concern. 9 out of 10 hookers will tell you he's always early. Early for what, John?
Hey, John.
Next. Speaking of which, hey, John.
Hey, John.
My man, John, in New York. Let's go to New York. John, what's up, brother? How you doing?
Jim, everything's good. Staying safe, wearing a mask. You know, how are you? Everything good?
Good, good. Family's good. That's I will tell good. Janet. That's I will good, tell Jim. Janet and the boys you asked. I want to ask about you and your family. I'm glad to hear that, man. Stay safe, brother.
Everybody's doing well. Thanks, Jim. So yeah, Mike and Indy, he's around the circuit. You know, he's still filing grievances with the other clones. You know, and as long as he's around, there'll never be a water shortage because he's always crying about the smack offs that he should have won. And I just wanted to talk about Cal. You know, Cal, the only thing happening at the Vegas airport is you getting locked up for crapping when Conor McGregor shows up and rips your head off. There's nothing good or there's nothing about your game. There's more air in your game than there is in Brad and Corona's banana hammock. And just, you know, for the smack off, my advice would be just to sit this one out and watch the smack off from up under Caleb's chin, where there's plenty of room to social distance and stay safe, Jim. And that's all I got to say. And I can't wait for June 19th. It's going to be great.
Oh, my man, John. Way to get that plane down, brother. Good job.
Brother.
John in New York. Man, he got in just in time, didn't he? He knows. You know why? Because he's got a clock in his head. And the clock was ticking.
The clock.
He knew. John understands this about the show and me. John may have known that he might have even been in jeopardy of getting broken off, but he had a clock in his head, unlike so many of you others. And he got that plane down. He did it. He got in, paid his respects, got out, did not get run. Good job, John. That's how you handle your business. No mention of hookers. Didn't get broken off. He didn't mention the things that you don't mention if you want to get through your phone call. Namely, hookers, premature ejaculation, you know, the no-nos of the jungle. Stay the hell away from that stuff and finish your call. Finish what you started. That's my guy right there, John in New York. Stucknuts in, quote, I prematurely thought that Johnny Scabs would be in the smack-off. See? Man, what a wild day. This has been some kind of crazy day. We had that great open phone first hour where I had my player profile, Mike and Indy. We had Steve Forbes at the top of hour two. Josh Johnson came in. Trey Turner was right there. Still ahead. Albie's week that was. I'll tell you what I'm going to hit. Preview of my conversation with David Boreanaz. Good dude. Episode 131 of the Jim Rome podcast. Episode 132 is already booked for next week. Legendary tennis player. One of my favorite athletes ever. Jimmy Connors. Next week on the podcast. take a short time out. The week that was, the ATP, a preview of Ep 131, more of your phone calls. Stay at it.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Marcus in Colorado with the bump back video. Adam, really quickly, throw them on. I want you to tell the clones, we are to the day, 3 weeks away from the smack-off. If they want to get a video on CBS Sports Network, what should the video be about and where do they send it?
Call your shot. Tell us who you love, who you hate for Smack-Off 26. Send them to smackoffvideos@gmail.com. Keep them short, 10 to 20 seconds. Keep them appropriate. This is daytime CBS TV. Send those videos in now. We've got a giant stack of them and not a lot of time to get to them. So send them in now if you want to get some free TV airtime. Smackoffvideos@gmail.com.
Well done. Thank you very much. At Not Total Big E tweets, Jeff in Southfield's impersonation of John in New York is spot on. John in New York. How you doing, John?
Thank you, Jim, for taking my call. Jim, that interview that you did the other month with heavyweight champ Del Monte Wilder, that was like the best interview that I ever heard in my whole life, Jim.
At Bill Ratka tweets, cue the Jeff in Southfield impression call of John in New York.
Jim, your interviews are the most awesome interviews in the history of radio, Jim. Jim, you're literally my bestest friend in the whole wide world, Jim. Thank you, Jim. Thank you.
Jeff. No. You don't like this. Jeff is in the smack-off field. Jeff in Southfield, if you need him. He is in the smack-off field. All right, Alvy's Week That Was coming up next segment. ATP coming up next segment. Episode 131 of the Jim Rome Podcast is live right now, and it's in all the usual spots. Coming off the Branded Boyd conversation, I decided that I would stay in the arts and entertainment genre. Ran down my buddy David Boreanaz. If the name does not register right away, the face will. This guy has starred in some of the biggest shows on network TV, from Buffy the Vampire Slayer to Angel to Bones. He's now a part of the CBS smash hit SEAL Team. David plays the elite team leader, Jason Hayes. These are all starring roles, leading roles, but like any true Hollywood story, there were humble beginnings. I just don't know if it gets any better than playing Christina Applegate's boyfriend for a single episode in Married with Children back in 1993.
I played Frank, her boyfriend, and I arrive on this big Harley Davidson outside of the front door, and I remember I was so nervous the first time we taped it because we had rehearsed all week. I was like, I'm shaking. I got Christina Applegate on the back of the bike. I'm trying to keep it steady, and the lights are off, and then the lights go on. Luckily, the guy who opened the door, one of the actors, messed up his line, and they had to reset it. And I'm like, okay. I don't know. Someone was maybe looking out for me. Then we did it the second time. They restarted it, live audience. You know, I got my lines out, and it worked. You know, I see Ed O'Neill around a lot, and we talk about those days, and, you know, I remember how great he was to me. It was an exciting period of my life because I was able to kind of get in, do something, and then, like, oh, well, this has got to continue, right? They thought about making my character a series regular, and then, boom, before you know it, I was out. I'm, like, back on the streets, and it was one of those things where, you know, happens, and you're just kind of like, oh, I got to go find another job. Like, it's not going to last forever. And I got really close with Christina Applegate. You know, I got involved with her. She was my girlfriend for, like, 4 months, and things just kind of got bottled up. Next thing you know, I'm in the rags, like, who's Christina Applegate dating? And then, boom, I'm in New York City with her, and then my agent's like, you got to come back, man. What are you doing? You're hanging out with her while she's doing a movie. You got to get back to the grind. But those days were fantastic. I love that show. I love the people that were on it. You know, I reminisce with them when I bump into them all the time.
My guy is so awesome. David Boreanaz. I love that his agent's like, hey, man, what are you doing? What am I doing? I'm hanging out in New York City with Christina Applegate. What do you think I'm doing? David's tremendous. David's got a great, great wife, Jamie. He's got a couple of great kids. even though he only had that one episode on Married with Children, it definitely helped jumpstart his career in entertainment. It's a career which may or may not have been in the works back in high school when he was killing it as a young athlete and he had to make a decision, sports or acting.
I love playing football and baseball, and I wanted to play sports. I was a bit of an athlete. The acting thing was like, oh, I'm at school and you can try out for a play. So I kind of kept it kind of submerged and I really didn't want to do it. And I remember in fourth grade trying out for a play, and out of nowhere this burst of energy came out and everyone's like, whoa, okay, we got a little actor here. Ended up doing some plays in fourth and fifth grade. Then I stopped. Then I was a jock all through high school. Then I got injured, played football, blew out the ACL, graduated, went out to Ithaca College, and just the acting thing came through again. And I wanted to get involved in the acting of it all. So for me, I was kind of like swallowing the acting bug, and it just would come out at certain times. And even at eighth grade, I remember trying out for Hello Dolly, and I was like, you know, playing football. And then I go and try out for the play, and all my sports friends are like, dude, what are you doing? I'm like, right. Try out for the play. And I go up there, and I crush it, and I was like, whoa, where's this kid come from? Where's he been for 2 years? So it was kind of in me, and it just kind of came out, and, you know, I've been lucky enough to, you know, progress down that line and get to the process of it, and very fortunate to be where I am. So it started early, and I kind of kept it hidden.
So obviously a different kind of conversation for the podcast. So David is from Buffalo, but identify with Philly. So he's from Buffalo. He moved to Philadelphia at a young age and is Philly through and through. And so, of course, is Bradley Cooper. So repping the same town around the same age is going to link the careers, especially when you come up together and you audition against one another the way they did.
I remember going up against Bradley for a film role or something, and it was me, him, and a couple other well-known actors. I can't remember who they were, but Bradley was from Philly. He's a good guy, and it was a comedy, and I ended up doing really well in the audition, and then the film just goes north. Like, they wanted me, and they didn't take Bradley, and then all of a sudden, like, they lost their financing. I'm like, but you run into these guys, these young actors, along the way, and then down the road, you're like, oh, he shot off. You know, his film career went crazy. I stayed in television, which is fine with me. I mean, it's just kind of one of those things when he's a great guy. You know, everyone has their different paths and how they get to certain places. But, you know, the early days, they were rough.
Hey, both these guys have had amazing careers, and so much of making it in this town is luck because so much of it's out of your control. Ask anybody who's ever tried to do anything in the business in this town. And you just heard it right there. David Boreanaz straight up beat Bradley Cooper at an audition for a film that ultimately had its financing fall through, which is about as out of your control as it can possibly be. But again, that's not to say that David has not had an incredibly successful career. He has. It's just interesting to hear how things may have been different or could have been different, or if this breaks that way or it breaks that this way. It's just Hollywood. It's life, right? I'd say it worked out very well for both of them. For David, who didn't get to make that movie, but has just absolutely crushed it in every role he's had since. And for Bradley Cooper, who apparently turned out just fine too. Speaking of Philly, David is a huge Philly sports fan, which has got to kill the city of Buffalo because that's where he was born. David moved to Philly when he was 7 or 8. He made a choice at a Flyers-Sabres game, a choice maybe he did not want to make, but a choice that he had to make.
When I went there and moved to Philadelphia, everything was like golden. It was Tug McGraw, Pete Rose, the Sixers, Dr. J, and it was Bobby Clark and Bill Barber. So I was seeing like championship teams. We don't have that in Buffalo. You know, I was watching the French Connection, and then I'm spilled over to a big city, and I'm like, here I am, and these teams are winning World Series. You know, they're in the Cup Finals, the NBA Finals. Like, this is like heaven for me. I remember being at the Spectrum, and my dad took me, and we saw the Sabres play the Flyers, and we were sitting in the nosebleed seats, and I started to root for the Sabres, and that was a bad move. By the end of the first period, my dad's like, you cannot cheer if they score. These guys are looking at you. They're throwing down cheesesteaks like 6 at a time, and they're like, you're going down by the end of the second period if you don't move over to our side. And I did, and it just became a big Philadelphia fan.
Philly fan got to him early. All right, so my man, he's about his craft, but he's also about the sporting life. And after he broke down the Eagles and the draft for me, I asked him about his Sixers. And I said, David, Do you still trust the process?
It's been a little frustrating. I'm going to say that I'm almost 100% in the process. Yeah. I can't look at basketball the same. I got to be honest with you. After, I mean, look, I'm a huge Jordan fan. And, you know, watching this whole documentary, I'm sure like everyone else did. He's a beast. He's the GOAT. He's the guy. The Sixers have a lot of elements, but they've also made some really stupid moves. And, you know, now with this time off, maybe they'll get a little bit healthier. And I think Ben Simmons is really good. And I think Embiid's just a dominant player. And I just think they need a little some more help around the outside. And the coach thing, I don't know. I'm a little shaky on that route right there. I don't know if it's becoming like, I don't know, like, I feel like it's just becoming like the same old thing. You know, and I think maybe you need something to shake it up. I don't know what that is. I really don't.
Trust the process.
Did my man just call for Brett Brown's job on my podcast? I think he did. This guy's already got Sports Radio 101 down. Fire the head coach. Fire the head coach. That always works. I don't necessarily agree with that specific take, but I don't need to. My man knows. Have a take, don't suck. Have a take, don't suck, and have a listen because that will not suck. 40 quality minutes with a super quality guy. We talk about the ups and downs of his career. We talk about what it's like to shadow Navy SEALs, the challenges of producing a show that you're acting in. He is the EP on that show. He has his great philosophy on what it means to not get exposed. Give this one a spin. You're going to like it. Find it after the show or over the weekend on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, JimRome.com. Cruise over to my Twitter page. It is pinned there right at the top of my profile. You will like him and you will like it. When we come back, something else you're going to like. Obviously, week that was. It is the most consistent part of this program. Well, the 4 days that were, right? You better have some of that Monday show in there, Avi. Okay, I like it. When we come back, Avi's week that was, not the 4 days, but the week that was, and the ATP and a huge call and more. First, here's a sports update. Not just any sports update, but one anchored by Rich Apple. It is time to answer your Ask the Pros question. You submit the question, I answer it. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. ATP is from Doug in Iowa. With the pandemic keeping us out of restaurants, have you busted out the grill yet this spring? Doug in Iowa, hell yes. My man, you?
Hell yeah.
Haven't we all? Several times a week. I'm hitting it all. Come on, I mean, that's grilling's one of the best things ever. That's one of my favorite pastimes. That's one of the most relaxing things ever, especially on a Friday or a Saturday. Go out there, adult beverage, get some tunes going. And if your next question is, what are you throwing on that grill? Pretty much everything. You're probably like us. In the pandemic, have you not eaten everything there is to eat? Have you not gone to every restaurant, like every kind of food imaginable? I don't know about you guys, but we've done everything. Mexican food, Thai food, barbecue, like everything. And everything that could go on the grill that I know how to grill has gone on the grill. Hot dogs, hamburgers, brats, steaks, chicken, fish, meat, non-meat, vegan, everything. Everything. What's interesting about the grill is it used to be kind of like where I found myself, my inner me. There'd be some tranquility, some solace. You know, because I could go out there with a beer or a cocktail and just get some Van Smack time. Now the boys are old enough. So now Janet says, they want to hang out. They want to go out there with you. And of course, I'm like, yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. Bring them out. Send them out. Logan's a funny kid. Like, if I can't get him off Fortnite, which pisses me off, and then I do, then he kind of flips a switch and he gets pushy. He gets aggressive. So I taught him to grill. and he's good. He's got kind of a knack. I mean, you might say, well, how hard is it to grill? Right? Fair enough. But he's good at it. He's got a knack. So now he's constantly like, hey, Dad, flip that, flip that, flip that. Hey, Dad, I think that's ready. Hey, Dad, what about that? So my sense is I want to say, hey, Logan, why don't you just do it yourself then? But then he's ripping my one joy, the grill. So I don't do that. So I try and check him. So we're kind of negotiating the grill and how the grill works and who makes the decision. But he's good at it. He likes it. So to answer the question, Doug, yes. Spending a lot of time in the backyard has been great. That is one of the silver linings of the pandemic. I'm spending a lot of time in the backyard. I'm enjoying the hell out of the backyard. If not for this, I would not be in the backyard. I'd be running around. So it's got me to slow down, get on the grill, argue with Logan about whether or not that is ready to flip. It's been a fun time. What are you doing this weekend? Going back to the backyard, man. I'm going to hit that grill again. Alvy, is it time? Alvy's taking a look back. Now, I did not work Monday, but Alvin did. So it's not the 4 days that were, it's the week that was.
Thanks for having me, Chief.
Welcome to the jungle. What's going on? A truly brilliant Tuesday to you. My name is Jim Rome. Great to be back. Hope you had a nice weekend. What's cracking? My thanks to my guy, Bill Ryder, for coming in.
Bill Ryder with you. Thank you to Isaiah Thomas.
And Red Lobster.
I want to start with the match two.
Stop
acting like that was something awesome. I mean, did we all watch the same thing? Because the way some folks were acting, we just saw one of the most hilarious things ever put on the small screen.
Yeah! Do it! A two! Yes, because that's how we roll.
Glad the whole thing happened. I'm even more glad it's over.
That's good, Tiger. Pick that one up.
It raised a lot of money, and it raised even more corn.
Fairway. Over on Southern.
Boom! Roastmaster. We are joined by Martin Jarman.
I appreciate you having me in the jungle. Long-time listener, so this is an honor to be with you. I'm looking forward to the smack-off on June 19th, Jim.
The smack-off.
Drizzle.
But I got my priorities straight, and I know a lot of people think Uncle Fester ran me off, but that's just not how it went down. What's my name?
Fizzy Bobo. Fizzle finally got his Metro PCS cell phone line back on.
They all stand up and start going...
If it's a conversation about his legacy and whether the lying, cheating, bullying, deception, and total fraud erases all the good that he did, all the money that he raised, all the hope that he gave people.
What am I on?
Is that erased by the lie?
I'm on performance enhancing drugs.
Bob Costas.
You know, we are not that far apart, but we might as well be a world apart with social distancing. We could hop in our respective cars right now and meet at Javier's or Mastro's or Moto Mio, but it wouldn't be what you have in mind.
JT the Stick. Wow. 1,000 calls a show is good radio? I would have loved to hear your take if you had any.
Somewhere the brick's got to be like, the hell did I do?
Can I please have another?
Do you even talk?
It's Stevie Carbone, man. Hall of Famer Terrell Davis joining us. Who else did you look to?
Of course, John.
Hey, John.
You know, John was one that, like playing with Michael Jordan. Like, you can't come to a game with anything less than your best.
Thank you to John Elway.
It's about time you bring some youth to the competition. The millennials haven't been able to compete. We've been busy, but the times have changed.
I want to hear from a millennial. Is that all you got? Holy millennials. Brandon McManus.
The best breakdown is that we would report for training camp around July 28th, but I think we'll be able to go full-fledged right from that time.
Keep Mike in his name out of your mouth. He's my pitch.
Maybe we all can define funny different ways, but to me, that's funny. That made me laugh. Are you listening, Cal? I know you are. Are you ready to fight everybody who's referenced you, Cal? Cal wants to fight all of Twitter. Lonnie Sitake joining me for another couple of moments. Would you be okay, though, playing without fans in the stadium?
Yeah, of course. We watched all the UFC fights, right? I don't think those punches were any softer, so I'm really excited about the next few weeks.
Why are you throwing mud and why are you having, like, assisted... Like, don't do it. You look like an idiot. That's just being exposed.
All right, going forward, I'm going to do everything I can not to be exposed and be aware of that. Not
Jim,
run
you're
you
far
down.
From being exposed, man. You're the real deal, man. We've had some real great classic moments, my friend.
I'm talking about Lloyd Pierce.
It's been an extremely tough week for me personally. I'm not an NBA head coach. I don't have any privilege. I am a black man, and that's not going to go away. The NBA head coach could. The fear of being a black man could go away, but it isn't. It hasn't. And right now, it's at its worst point.
Talking to Quinn Cook, whoever wins this thing is going to immediately get an asterisk hung right on them.
I think the team who wins it this year, they really deserve it. To go through this, nobody has an advantage. I think it's even harder.
I know you guys don't know me very well, so let me tell you a little something about myself. I am not afraid. I'm not afraid to call, and I am not hiding.
If you have a golden ticket and you get run while in the midst of holding on to that golden ticket, you know what that means. means, don't you?
The chopper has arrived.
Where's the chopper?
And when he came out with his Air Jordan sneakers.
Damn it, Larry.
You want another one?
I made my point. So let's do it again, and let's do it right. Parody Larry.
I appreciate this, Rome. This is for Neems. I have Brady.
Yeah, long break my ass. Larry, you are in jungle quarantine. You are in a jungle lockdown. 6 feet my ass.
Get your ass.
How about
along.
6 weeks? How about 6 months?
Eric, she was in the background of Jim and Fall River's call. You remember that, Rome?
Who's that in the background?
Not Fall River. Fall River is the place where 100 years ago...
Jim, what is that animal in the background?
I will behead Rafael Dos Anjos. I will drag his head through the streets of Rio de Janeiro.
Stu says he's hungry for his next challenge. I think he's just hungry, period.
Chew it!
I'm gonna roast Stu and then feed him to himself.
You better don't skip the smack off, Mikey.
You better don't.
Steve Forbes.
I'm probably the only head coach in the East. Worked at McDonald's and signed the McDonald's All-American. I can probably promise you that.
It's the best.
It's two different kind of bigs. It's big and it's sloppy big.
No, Cal, the only thing happening at the Vegas airport is you getting locked up for crapping when Conor McGregor shows up and rips your head off.
Kick that up, cat.
I stay for the ladies.
Ouch, bro.
All right, Romy, be well.
Jim, always, my man.
What are you on?
Thanks for your time, Jim. Appreciate you.
Still, don't work.
Hookers. Premature ejaculate.
All right, thanks, big dog. You take care.
We're done.
Good night now!
There's Alvin with the week that was. Like I said, the most consistent thing about the program. All right, quick recap in case you missed it. Matt in L.A., much to the delight of many of you, had his golden ticket snatched. And the reason that happened was, normally it takes him a little while to get going. Once he gets all his normal greetings and salutations out of the way before he actually gets to his phone call. Today, the run-up was even longer than normal. And even more confusing than normal. And I had to put my foot down finally and say, hey, Matt, it's smack-off season. You're supposed to be peaking right now. There was too much flab on that call. Hit the reset button. Go to school on that. That's a wake-up call. You've been warned. You can do better. You can do more. He lost his ticket. That's the sound of the chopper. Here's the sound of somebody getting a ticket.
I've got a golden ticket.
You get a golden ticket. Why is it a golden ticket? Because it gets you entry to the biggest contest in sports talk radio. One that could win you $5,000. If you win the smack off on June 19th, you get $5,000 in cash.
Straight cash, homie.
Straight cash, homie. Second place gets nothing. Third place gets less. Fourth place is embarrassing. Fifth place, why did you call? $5,000. Nothing wrong with that. You got to beat the BIC. We dropped our promo, Alvy. Alvy did his promo. In fact, Alvy, you were not here when you dropped that promo. Is there any time for the promo? Speed it up, dog.
Mom, it was like a smuggled heroin balloon at an airport. Wrecked them.
Who wants to walk with Jeff from Richmond?
Way to go, Daniel. Never heard that one before. But I guess we should expect that kind of trash coming from a guy who throws surprise birthday parties for his cat.
I'm a starving tiger for the title King of Smash.
I want to come flying out of the ass of Cruz's car on that parachute that deploys out of nowhere for no reason whenever they cross the finish line.
Smack off 26, June 19th.
The single greatest day of my life.
It is for the best of the best. It's invite only. Some of the biggest players.
You horse tooth jackass.
What the hell was the point of that, badass?
Some of the dirtiest players in the game. Caleb.
Don't mess with the walrus, young man. You'll get the tusk.
Maybe you should just bring your mom on again, and she can apologize for being such a failure as a parent.
Cal in Vegas.
Rick, you ain't gonna do nothing. As soon as you get down here, I'm putting you in a chokehold. And I'm not letting go until your face turns the same color as your bright red alcoholic nose.
And you get to the end of those double rainbows.
Double rainbow.
Will there be two cows in Vegas with a pot of gold?
Canadians.
That's not a good call.
Somebody please collectively get these nerds some hookers.
Mark in Hollywood.
What up, sluts? Tough smack talking Canadians? Really?
Mark, you're a nerd.
Benny.
And I'll bet you 5,000 pine cones that you'll be looking up at me again. Lump these, Maddie.
I don't remember that smack off promo being that short, Alvin. Each call brought to you by Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges. Helps if you need to fix them. Eno, another way, Capital One. is watching out for your money when you are not Capital One. What's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details. Parody Larry, sorry I didn't get to your phone call, brah. No, I'm not. Larry, I told you. Social distancing. Not 6 feet. 6 months. My thanks to Steve Forbes, Josh Johnson, Trey Turner, the XR4TI crew. Nice job. We are 3 weeks to the day from Smack Off 26. Keep it in mind over the weekend. I'll check you on Monday. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend. We're out.